About 100 million Americans are carrying healthcare debt. I'm Dan Gorenstein, host of the health policy podcast, Trade-Offs. Medical debt drains people's savings, pushes them from their homes, and stops them from getting needed care. This has led to a flurry of state and federal policies in recent years. To help us make sense of all of them, we've asked one of the nation's top medical debt researchers, UCLA's Wes Yin, to join us for a game that we're calling
Rank That Policy.
Before we start, a quick word. Medical debt is obviously a very serious issue, but the purpose of this game is to make it easier to appreciate the real-world implications of the various policies. Okay, so I'm going to read off a policy, and Wes is going to rank it on a scale of 1 to 10, depending on how big an impact he thinks it's going to have. Wes, you ready?
I'm ready to play. Count me in.
Let's start with the more than 20 states that have laws requiring hospitals to offer free care to poor patients or limiting certain collection tactics. Wes?
Rank that policy!
I think it's a 2. It's not out of lack of effort or good intentions. It's just that a lot of states really aren't clear about how much is required in financial assistance. It's also really difficult to enforce. So I'm going to give it a 2.
What about these two policies from the Biden administration? First, the administration's going to take medical debt out of consideration when deciding whether to give someone a loan, like for a small business or a house.
Rank that policy!
So it's like a doctor treating a disease that's already there. It's not preventative. But we know that when people have debt, it affects their credit scores, affects their abilities to get loans. It raises their interest rates. So if that's implemented well, that really limits the negative impact that medical debt has on people's abilities to get federal loans. So that's a good thing. So I'm going to give that a 6.
Okay. So let's talk about the second Biden policy. They plan to use data on hospital debt collection practices to decide which facilities get federal grant dollars.
You know what? That's the big wild card for me. All the devils are in the implementation details. You know, if they don't really enforce using this for potential grant making to those hospitals, then it may not have a lot of power there. But at the very least, having the federal government get more data on debt collections practices and the amount of debt that's held by hospitals really has the potential for some big changes down the road. So I'm going to give that a 6 also, but I'm going to give that a slight edge just for its potential.
Okay, so let's move on to Congress, which banned surprise out-of-network medical bills through the No Surprises Act. For the last time, Wes.
Rank that policy!
Yeah, you know what? I'm of two minds about this one. It's not a really big source of medical debt, but it really is one of the more galling sources of medical debt. Emergency department spending is about 1/10 of all hospital spending. And the surprise billing addresses, you know, just a small part of the emergency department billing. So this gets rid of that, which I think is great, but it doesn't solve, you know, a bigger source of the problem. So let's give it a 5 overall.
Excellent. Okay, a 5. Wes, thank you so much for being our first ever contestant on
Rank That Policy.
Great. Thanks for having me.
It has been a joy. To hear more from Wes and a father in Arizona struggling with medical debt, check out the full episode wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dan Gorenstein. This is Trade-Offs.